How many would like to never miss it in life? Anybody here? I mean, never, never, ever miss it. I mean, 100%, you're always right. Man, I'll tell you, I like that. I'm right here, me. I got two hands up. I don't want to ever want to miss it. But you know what? We can. We can actually get to the place where we never, ever miss it in life. And God has sent someone who lives inside, who knows everything, that can inform us about everything so we never miss it in life. And I mean, that means from adults to children. But you got to learn how to be sensitive to the one that lives in you, and it's the Holy Spirit. And I'd say there was something that you can look at your, you know, I know you do, but you can look at your own Bible. And there's really three areas that the Bible, I would say, emphasizes for our life is faith. Well, let's go another way. Let's start with love. Okay, because we're supposed, faith works by love, and we can see that Jesus in John 13 said that we're to love one another as he loved us, and then it also talks about faith works by love, but then it also says that the just shall live by faith. Well, who's the just? We are. If you're born again, you are justified, you're made righteous, so you're the just, so we need to live by faith. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing really is to be led by the Spirit of God. If you get those three things working in your life, you're a success. And you'll never miss it. You walk in love, you walk in faith, and you hear Him and you follow Him, then I'm going to say this, you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus, and we are, the Scripture says that we're to be like Him. It says, be imitators of Him. So we're to be an imitator of Christ. We're to live like Him, talk like Him, see like Him, and we can get there. We don't get there overnight. I mean, it takes a lifetime to get there, and we'll still never get there until we get to heaven. Then you'll know. See, we only know in part. We see in part, we hear in part, but then we'll know even as He knows and sees when we get there. So, but while we're here, we have the Comforter, we have the Holy Spirit here to guide us and to teach us and to lead us into the truth. And this is not something spooky. You know, some people think, well, that's just for them spiritual folks. No, that's for you. That's for you. That's for the everyday person. Not standing in the pulpit, that means you. That you can hear Him in every facet of your life. You think, well, God doesn't care about me. Yes, He does. He cares about every little part of you, even the little things. Where I shop, what I buy, well, the friends I have, where I'm going to school, what kind of job I have, what kind of house I buy, what the person I marry. I mean, He cares about every little thing. If you hurt, He hurts. And some people think, well, I don't know about that. Well, He's touched with your infirmities, your weaknesses, and He cares about that. And I tell you, I'm excited about this kind of living, and we can live like this. And I just, I see someone with a guest badge. I just want to welcome you today. And thank you for being here. We love you, and we welcome you here, and we hope you come again. Trust that you will. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So let's pray and jump in the Word of God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word, which is forever settled in heaven. Thank You that it's true. Thank You that it's light. Thank You that it's life. And we thank You that the entrance of Your Word brings light and revelation. We thank You, Father, for directing us along this path today by Your Spirit. And we thank You that those that are assembled here today will walk away with something that will change their life and will get them to thinking about the relationship that they have with You through the Spirit of God. And we thank You, Father, that they'll be forever changed. Holy Spirit, thank You for thinking through me, speaking through me today. And we thank you for this facility that we have to worship in. We thank you. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles. We do this because it's right to do for us. Let's open and read John 3:16 together. And this is a good scripture to read. And we'll read this together. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And today, as I was sharing, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. And as we're doing that, why don't you turn over to the book of Romans, and we're going to spend some time here today, just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 8. I'll tell you, I would say it like this. If I knew some of these things, if someone had just taught them to me as a young person, I wouldn't have bumped through life like I did. Even as a young person, I wouldn't have made some of the mistakes that I did. And I might say, I might add, that even as a young person, sometimes we, I won't say knew them, we kind of sensed some of these things. How many here ever know when you're growing up, you did something, you said, "That wasn't right. I did something," and you just knew inside, "That wasn't right." Well, that's your conscience. And another way to put that would be, that's your spirit man. So there's an outward man, and there's a person on the inside of you. And that person on the inside is your spirit. We might call it your conscience, is another way to say it. And so we have, we're led by the Spirit of God, but we're going to share some things that I hope will make it a little bit clearer, and some people will say, "Oh, that's what's been going on. That's what it is." And so hopefully what we share today will shed some light on who lives inside you and what's really going on. So, because there's things going on, and sometimes we just didn't realize it, and the scripture will add some light to that, or clarity. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And let me read this. This is from the Voice translation. I'm going to read from a few different translations because sometimes the King James is an old English translation, and it was translated. Doesn't make it inaccurate, but the choice of words sometimes make it difficult to understand just what it is they're saying in today's vernacular, today's language. The Voice translation says, "If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are his children." The New Century Version is a modern translation, says, "The true children of God," listen to this, "are those who let God's Spirit lead them." So you have to let him. You don't. It's not only just recognizing that it is him, but then you've got to let him lead you. What does that mean? Go over here to the left. Okay, I'm going to go over here to the left. let's go over here to the right. You have to let him lead you in a particular direction. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's not just being aware, but also letting him lead you. So as we were saying before, is it possible, so if he's leading, is it possible for him to guide you into every affair of life accurately? Yes. Absolutely, it is. So let's say these three, let's say these four areas. God is triune. So let's hold your finger in Romans 8, and let's just flip over. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it or look on. And this is in 1 John, and we're just going to look here for a moment in chapter 5. And when we say God, God is made up of three people. Three persons. I'm going to read verse 7 in 1 John chapter 5. It says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, don't get stuck on ghost, Holy Ghost. It's the same word for spirit, which is paraclete. One who's called alongside to aid or to help us. So it's the same word, it's just translated. The translators use ghost instead of spirit, but if you look it up in the Greek, it's the same word. So what we can say is this, we're finite beings. We have a finite, limited way about us. So we can't know everything. We can't know, we can't have enough information. We don't know enough, even in our learning, our thinking, our understanding, we can't know enough. But there's someone in us that does. And the Holy Spirit, well, let's say it this way, God is eternal. God is eternal. He had no beginning and no end. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything. He knows everything about everything. Isn't that something? When you think about that, you say, here's somebody that lives inside of me that knows everything about everything. Everything. Whenever you run up against something, he already knows. Yes. He already knows. Well, he already knows. So he's omniscient. He's also omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at all times. And what? He also lives in me. And what's the other thing? He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. Right. So he's all powerful. So there isn't anything you could run up against. What does the scripture say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's not to take lightly. Greater. So that means something I run up, greater. Greater. If I run up something bigger, greater. I got a greater one that lives inside me. I run up against something I don't know what to do. I got the one who knows how to do it. He's inside me. He already knows. I'll tell you, that's exciting to me. That means that there isn't anything I can face in life that I got to run. And what I'll say it like this is there's nothing wrong with getting counsel from people, but they're not your counselor. See, and there's been a lot of people, I'm just going to say it like this, ministry gifts, you can go to the book of Ephesians, it talks about the gifts that have been placed in the body. You have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that are here to do what? Perfect us, help us become mature in Christ. But what did this just say here? Those that are led by who? The Spirit of God are the sons of God or the children of God. We are not led by apostles. We are not led by prophets. We're not led by evangelists. We're not led even by pastors and teachers. We're not led by them. We're here as unctioned by the Spirit of God to do what? Teach, to assist and help you in life, not tell you what to do. That's your choice. God doesn't even make you serve Him. So now how could I tell you what to do? You understand? I'm here, if God puts it on my heart to say something to you, don't get out of joint. But it's done in love. It may be to help you. And God may be saying something to correct you through me, but you still, at the end of the day, you are led by the Spirit of God. And things that people have told people to do in the name of the Lord, and people have followed it, their lives have been destroyed. So things that people tell you, thus saith the Lord, it should be something that you have already a confirmation or a knowing of or a sense of. And if you don't, what do? Put it on the shelf for a while, pray about it, ask God to reveal it to you. That's scriptural. That is scriptural. So we need to be led by the Spirit of God, and we can. We can be in every area of our life. Now, it does not mean that we don't honor the gifts that have been that are in the body of Christ. It doesn't mean we don't do that. It doesn't mean, well, I know God. I'm not receiving anything from you. No, that doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that at all. We're to honor one another. Now, let's look at verse 16. It said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, here again, the translators in the English, the Old English, use the word itself, and if you look at most of the modern translations, it's himself. He's a person. So the Holy Spirit is a person and should be referred to as himself, and you can see that in the other translations. And this is the thing that I want to kind of touch on today. When you look at the scriptures, and I'm just going to share this before we talk about this particular scripture. All of you are familiar, or some of you are, with 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Who's the new creation? When you got born again, you still look the same. You still got the same outward look. And it says, so the inward man is made brand new. So it wasn't the outside. Something changed. Who was it? It was the inside that changed. It was your spirit became brand new. It was redeemed and changed. So the inside changed. And who came to live inside? The Holy Spirit. Jesus came in. His spirit came inside of me. Okay. So you see that, and there are other scriptures that talk about that. But here's what this particular scripture, and when you look at other translations, it'll help you understand that you have a spirit. And Romans 8:16, let me just read this in a couple of different translations. Because he's a person, he is not just a force and not just a power, although he is. But he is a person. Now, Romans 8:16, this is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit. So that means that the Spirit of God is a person. He's living in me and my own spirit. You see. Listen to this. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirit. So, I'll finish here. The World English Bible, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So your conscience, your spirit, bears witness to you. Your spirit will bear witness to you. But the Holy Spirit who lives inside you bears witness to your spirit, which bears witness to you. So there's two witnesses going on here. The Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit, and your spirit or your conscience picks up or hears what he says. Does that make sense? Because there's a person that lives inside you. The real you is your spirit man. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside you bears witness to who? Your spirit. And when he speaks, you ever hear somebody say, well, I thought I heard something on the inside of me very still say, do this. Well, the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, and your spirit will pick up that, will hear that. And it's your own human spirit speaking. But really, who is it speaking? It's the Holy Spirit speaking. Hope I'm not losing anybody here. Now, you're right in Romans 8. Look at the first verse of Romans 9. Look at this. This is Romans chapter 9. And it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience, what? Also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, let me read this. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, I am telling you the truth as a Christian man. It is no falsehood. My conscience enlightened as it is by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is enlightened by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, let me read another. This is the Amplified. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. So your spirit will become enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, which bears witness to you. What do I mean by that? When something bears witness, there's a prompting, there's a nudge, or sometimes people will say, I just felt this uneasiness inside me about doing something. Has anybody ever had those kind of experiences where we just felt a little uneasy about doing something? We were going to go do some things over here, but I just felt, nah, not right now. That uneasiness. Or you just felt, hey, I'm going to go over here today. I just feel this feels right to do this. That can be the Holy Spirit leading you to do something or not. That's a witness. And our spirit, as Brother Hagin through the years used to call it like this, and Pastor Judy will refer to it, prompts. Don't miss the prompts from the Holy Spirit. Brother Hagin used to call it red light, green light. However you call it, it just means a check. It means a green light, okay, we're going to go, or a red light, we're going to stop. You can read through the book of Acts, and it says he forbade them to go into this city. What does that mean? There was a hesitancy, a check to not do something or to move ahead. So we all have that inner witness inside, but it's the Holy Spirit prompting our spirit to do something or to not. And it also says here, my conscience enlightened by something. And let me just share this. when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we need to be aware that He's in us. He's there to help us. He's called the Comforter, which you can go to the Amplified, and the Amplified Bible talks about the Comforter, the Counselor. He's referred to as the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener. He's talked about these various facets of the Holy Spirit. His characteristics are here to do what? If you thought of, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, if I had to think about the Holy Spirit, I'd think He's the Helper. He had all these other characteristics, but He's called to do what? To help me. And so He lives in me, so I need to be aware of His presence. And sometimes the reason we don't have the successes that we do in our everyday life is, number one, we're not even aware He's there. I mean, you could be shadowing me, you could be with me, but if you're not aware that I'm even there, why would you even ask for help? I could be there walking right behind you or alongside you every step that you make, but you're not even aware that I'm there. You don't even know I'm there. So why would you even consider my assistance? Because you're not aware. Now, some are aware, but they're just not in the habit of asking. They just don't ask. They're busy. I got this figured out. I know what to do. But you don't know what to do. I can tell you, I made a mess in my life and choices that I made. And so why would I want to continue to do that when I've got the One who knows everything? He's all powerful. Why wouldn't I look to Him? So I'm becoming, for me, I'm making it a habit to be aware that He's there. And when I get into making a choice, a decision, I say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? What should I do? And one way that you can become more sensitive to this, here's a good way to help yourself. This helps me. When you have to make a choice on something, when you think about making that choice, do you feel good about it or do you feel uneasy about it? Because that's the inward witness. When you have to make a choice to do something, do you feel good about doing it or not? If you don't feel good about it, you need to put it on the shelf. You need to hold up. I know for me, I've had so many experiences that has been how God has led me. And the Bible tells you it's by the inward witness. That so many times when I haven't felt good about doing something, I've put it on the shelf, I've held up, I've stopped. Sometimes it's just timing. It isn't that it's the wrong choice, just not now. Not right now. So when you go to do something, it's like, I think we ought to hold up. Don't make that choice right now. Sometimes it's not the wrong choice, it's just not right now. And sometimes it's the wrong choice. It's not the right choice. You know, you want to go tell somebody off. When I think about doing that, does that feel good? Now, it may feel good to your flesh, but I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm not talking about your mind. I'm going to give them up. I'm just going to tell them off. I'm ticked. And that feels good to chew them out. But I'm talking about down here, inside. I'm saying down on the inside, the core of your being, when you think about doing, does that feel right? That's what I'm talking about. It may feel right in your flesh. You know, I want another plate of food, and it feels just right. I want another plate of food. But I may get a nudge, don't eat that. Don't eat that other plate of food. Back off. Don't eat it. See, just simple things in life. it's beginning to become aware of those little nudges and take the time out to ask, and when I think on making a choice, does it feel right or not? And when I say feel, I'm not talking about your mind and your flesh. I'm talking about down here on the inside. I'll give you an example. How many in here are married? Some are too young at this point, or have been married, or we'll go another way, somebody who has been married. But when you made that choice, at the time, did it feel right on the inside? See, that's what I'm talking about. Now, it may not have turned out all right, but I'm saying at the point that you married, did it feel right? See, on the inside. And here's the thing. Let's flip back to Romans 8. I don't want somebody to get stuck on, you know, this term that I'm using, feel right, because that can go over the wrong way. So let me just clear this up just for a moment. Look at verse 6. Here's another scripture verse that may add some help here. Look at verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace." So another way to look at this also is that when you think about making a choice, do you have peace? Do you have peace about it? Peace where? On the inside. And so that's another way you could look at this, because to be carnally minded, something that's opposed to God's choices, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So your conscience has within it, your spirit has the Holy Spirit living on the inside, and it's His Spirit bearing witness or nudging your spirit or enlightening. Now, let me say another thing. If you're in church, you hear people, and I know this trips up people, some. People will say, "The Holy Spirit told me this. The Holy Spirit told me this. The Holy Spirit spoke to me." You ever hear people say that? "The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me." And people will think they have to hear a voice. The Holy Spirit does speak. We just got done reading here. He bears witness to our spirit. He enlightens our spirit. Now let me ask a question. When the Holy Spirit bears witness, has this ever happened to you before? You ask the Lord for something, and a thought comes. And you knew, wow, where did that come from? And a thought comes. Let me ask a question. Is that thought a voice? Is that thought a voice? Is it? You think it is? No. Let me ask a question. Illumination, when you are enlightened, did you hear a voice? You just knew. You didn't hear anybody say anything. You just knew something. You didn't hear anything. And so the scripture talks about He enlightens your mind. Didn't Jesus, when He was with the disciples, He did what? He enlightened them to the scriptures. So when the Holy Spirit, He does speak, but one of the things that Brother Hagin said, and while he was on this earth, And then the many times Jesus appeared to him, he said the last time Jesus appeared to him, he said, the primary way that I lead my body is through the inward witness. Yes, he does appear to people. Yes, he does speak. But that's not the primary way. The primary way is an inward witness. Or we could say an inward knowing. So we have to become more aware of his presence and more sensitive to who's speaking, who's revealing. When thoughts come, when I ask the Holy Spirit for something, let's go another way. You ask the Spirit of God for direction, and it could be 3 days afterwards. And sometimes, I know for me, I don't know about you, sometimes I wonder about you. But anyways, for me, when I'm not thinking about it and my mind is clear, usually for me, when I'm waking up in the morning, when I'm clear and rested, as I'm coming out of sleep, a lot of times, thoughts will come. Do this. Do that. You're quiet. You're not busy with your mind thinking, okay, I got to go over here, got to go over here. I'm thinking, zooming. But when you're quiet, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to do what? Illumine something to you. Sometimes he speaks, but for me, illumination comes. A knowing comes to do something. Anybody ever have that happen to him? You just know I should do this. Well, he didn't necessarily speak to you. He did what? He revealed something to you. See, because the scripture also talks, we read this all the time. It says in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words does what? Giveth light. And so when you go to the other translations, it says the revelation of your words bring light. It brings knowing and understanding of something. So what do you need when you're up against a choice? You need to know, you need to understand what to do. So you can't read enough, you can't research enough. You know how we are. I know, I don't know about you. I just get out, I'm going to research everything I can to figure out this problem on the internet or something else with my phone and get all the answers. You don't know enough because you don't know what's going on with this whole situation, but he can reveal to you, go over here and call this person. How would you know that? He just enlightened. He revealed to you, but he didn't speak to you with an audible voice. He just revealed. Yes. Yes. See, and so that's really what we're talking about, is being aware of the presence of God, being aware. Sometimes we feel him, sometimes we feel his presence, like this morning, we sense his presence. But he's there. He's omnipresent. That means he's there when you don't feel good. He's there when you're up and when you're down. He's there. He's there all the time. So we need to just be conscious of that, be aware of his presence, and honor him with that, and seek him. Let's go to John for a moment. Let's go to John 14. John 14. And these are familiar scriptures here in John 14. And let's look at verse 16. Well, let's back up to 15. It's in John 14. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he, so he's not a it here, it's a he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So he's referred to here as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it what? It seeth him not. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Neither knoweth him. So they're not even aware. They don't know him. They're not aware of his presence. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall, or you could say he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So now here, when he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. So let me ask the question. Who was he to them? Who was Jesus to the disciples? If he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, he was their comforter. He was their helper. He was their advocate. He was their intercessor. And you can read through the scriptures, he did all of that for them while he was with them. And he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he also said before he left, he said, it's expedient that I go away. It's better that I go away. Now, you can think about if you were in a setting where you had Jesus in your setting, the master, and he says, it's better if I go away. They're probably saying, better? How could it be better? You're going to leave us better? How is that better? But he said, well, think about it. If Jesus was talking to someone, he couldn't talk to somebody else. So guess what? It's better. Because the whole body can speak to him at the same time. Yes, the Spirit of God was omnipresent, but he could only be in one place at one time. So it's better. So to them, it wasn't better. To them, they thought, that can't be better. But it was better. So it was better in the sense that now, not only was the Spirit of God present, but he now is within. He wasn't within them. Now it's within us. His Spirit is within us. So you can see here, now in the Amplified, that particular scripture verse, it says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another comforter. And this is the words that it calls a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever. So you can see here the Spirit of God for each one of us. And I'm learning myself to be diligent to go to him first and not try to figure something out. Because he may save you a lot of time. He may say, just go right over here. And I got it in my mind. I got all of this to figure this out. He may say, you may have 20 things to do, and he may say, take those 10 and just don't even worry about them. Don't even think about them. Put them on the side. Do these three things right here in this order. And sometimes we're trying to do things in earth, getting stressed out and frustrated, when he'll show us how to live a peaceful life. Doesn't mean we're not going to be confronted with stuff. It doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges in life. That doesn't mean that. But it does mean that he's in us to help us and to lead us, to guide us. And I've said this, you've heard me say this a few times. If he knows everything about everything, if he says, I will bring to your remembrance the scripture, and if you put the scripture and you meditate on it, he will bring it to your remembrance. Let me ask another question. Because I tell you, I went through engineering school. I know. I was loaded up with courses and stuff, and it was sometimes between working and going to college, it was a deal. If I had known some of these things, to look to the Holy Ghost to help me, I probably would have not had to deal with some of the things I dealt with. But the point is, if you study, He'll bring things back to your remembrance. He lives in you. I'll give you an example. When I first started in the ministry here, this was in 1985, and I started running the sound for the church. I didn't know anything about the sound. And so I had to learn. I had to bump my way through it. You know what I mean by that? Make a lot of mistakes. And so the equipment we have today, the things that we've put in place, all the digital equipment, all of the computerized equipment, was nothing. We had little tiny mixer, crazy stuff compared to what we have today. But I was trying to control the recordings that were going to tape, cassette tape at the time. And I'm like, how do I catch that level? Somebody shout, and I'm like, I have to bring it down, then bring it back up. And I was back there going, shh. And I said, this isn't right. And so I didn't have access to people with knowledge. So you know what I did? I asked the Holy Ghost. I did. At that time, at least I was smart enough, I said, Holy Spirit, what I need something. What piece of equipment do I need to help me here? Down here, I remember just like this, down here, a still small, I could hear just very softly, I could hear the word compressor. Compressor. And I went, what's a compressor? And then I had to start researching and find out, oh, that's a piece of equipment that controls the dynamics of sound. But I didn't know. He knows everything about everything. I mean, I'm telling you, if we would just yield to Him and listen, He'll tell us how to invest our money, what to buy, how to save money. You've heard me share, I never really invested money per se, but I'm absolutely convinced that you could take $20 and make it $1 million. I'm convinced of it. You can't tell me, you can't convince me otherwise. The Holy Ghost will tell you where to put that money to make money. Problem is, we don't ask and we don't listen. I'm telling you. I was home one day and I knew it was the Spirit of God. A thought came to me. Revelation. Enlightenment, however you want to call it. He told me, and I say he told me, revelation, a thought came, invest in Apple stock. Well, guess what? It was unfamiliar territory because I didn't invest money in stock market. I didn't. So guess what I did? Nothing. You know what the cost of that stock was when he told me? $40. You know what the cost of that stock is today? Close to $500. For one stock. And I hesitated and I dismissed it because it was uncharted territory for me. I'm just telling you, as they say, I'm putting my laundry out here because I made a mistake. But we've all made mistakes similar in different areas, just not the same. We've all made similar, where a thought came and we're like, nah, and we didn't act on it. And the Holy Ghost was trying to lead us into a better way, a better life, and we just dismissed it. could have been, don't go over here, don't take that job, don't marry that person, don't go over here. Could have been that way. And we did, and we ended up with the results. Now, the fortunate thing is we serve a God of mercy. We serve a God that even when we act dumb and stupid and we don't listen, he's merciful. He's merciful. His mercies are new every morning. Even when we don't think right, I'll tell you, I'll give you another example. I didn't think much about nutrition. I'll be honest. If it was, I mean, whatever it was, Cokes, Wingdings, whatever it was, I just ran and ate, and I didn't think much about nutrition. Drink coffee all day long, not eat right, because I'm working hard. Until I had a problem, and I had a gastrointestinal problem, and I was in pain for a year. Still sang, still met my commitments, sang on the albums, did what I did here. But the pain was so excruciating that I couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep at night. I might doze off for a little bit, but then wake up and it's pain all the time, 24/7. Pain, 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 pain. And I'm standing on the Word of God, confessing God's Word. And after a year, still nothing changed. But I have my feet dug in. I believe God, and my stomach is healed in Jesus' name. So I'm on vacation with family. Come back from the vacation. I'm standing in the shower, taking a shower. And I heard right down here, real soft. You could dismiss it. I heard down here, not da, 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 da. It was a still small voice. This is what I heard. If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And I'm serious. I just like that. I went, That's what I did. I went, And I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. I said, 6 months. And I stood there in the water, in the shower. You know what I did? Nothing. I didn't go to the doctor. Because I had myself dug in that I was standing on the Word of God. Dumb. I'd have been dead in 6 months as I'm standing here. So after 2 weeks, still more pain. 2 weeks, I said, stupid, that was the Holy Ghost speaking to you. You better go to the doctor. You're in pain. You've been in pain. Nothing's changing. And you know it. And I'd even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I should have seen some change after a year. Something. He knew something I didn't know about my body. And he didn't tell me what type of doctor to go to. He just said, do this. So I went to the emergency room, saw a specialist. But even in that, down here, I said, this isn't it. This is not right. It didn't feel right. Didn't have to check. Spoke to Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton about it. I took 3 weeks off, and in that time, they said, you ever been to a nutritionist? I said, no. See, this is where godly counsel comes in. I'm wondering, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And they said, did you ever go to a nutritionist? I said, no. Well, here's a person. I went, and through all of that, in 2 weeks, my stomach went, it turned around. Now, I could have ignored it, dismissed it, and been dead. And so after 2 weeks, it took 6 months to really turn the whole thing around. But in 2 weeks, the fire went out. The pain dismissed. And I said to this chiropractor who was a nutritionist, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you'd let it go another week, they would have opened you up. And I knew when he said, open me up, that would have been it right there. It would have been the decline. So what am I saying in all that? Be sensitive. It could mean your life. It could mean the difference between you being successful financially and not. You could end up owning your own business and be an entrepreneur. It's the difference between having the right people around you to help you. He's here to lead us into success and life. But we've got to be aware of his presence, think about him, know he's living in us, and ask him for help. Does that make sense? And I, you know, again, it's just every area. I mean, this is not just for adults. This is for children, little children, young children, young adult. This is for everybody, because if you know him, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, he lives in you. And he's there to help you. Now, that doesn't mean, it's just like the same thing. If you're living in a house and you have a mother or a father or both, you're to honor them. You live in that house, you're to respect them and follow their directions. But you still have the Holy Ghost living in you. He can guide you and direct you and show you what to do. And that's the wonderful thing. We don't have to come up short in any area of our life. Not one. But it's going to take a little effort on our part and discipline to seek him and wait on him. And we can get there. We can get there. I'll tell you, it's a life that, I tell you, I really feel sometimes sorry for people who don't know Christ. Because we have these benefits and access to the Creator that can help us and guide us. And actually, he died for that, so that he could send another comforter. Amen? Amen. Something to think about. See, we're not here to lead you or run your life. He's here to lead you. He's here to guide you into all truth and peace and life. And when it says life and life more abundantly, that word life is Zoe, that's his life. So he's there to lead you into his life and peace and abundance and grace. And for what purpose? Just to bless you? Yeah, it is to bless you, but it's also to be a witness to the world of how good this God is that we serve. That's for sure. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's just about time to go home and to dismiss. If anybody has a burning question, they certainly can ask. If somebody, I just kind of sense somebody may have a burning question. If you do, you got a question, you can ask. I'll try to answer it. I'm not God, but as they say, I'm not the Bible answer man, but certainly if I can answer it, I'll certainly do that. If it made sense to you, yes, ma'am. Okay.
I know you said correct, and I'm also probably scared.
Right.
Sometimes, as you say, you can wake up and you have peace.
Okay.
It's still, it's quiet.
Right.
And the Lord is directing you which way to go.
Okay.
You say your prayers, you get on your feet, and you start out. I'm good right there. But then when I start out, I get the thought. Sometimes I follow the thought, and when it works out fine, I go, oh, thank you, Lord. But then when it doesn't work out, I'm like, that was the wrong thought.
Okay.
So now I'm being confused between what's the unction that God's given me deep inside to the thought coming in. And the fast is helping me, but I'm not always clear where, like you said, well, never losing it.
Let me share it this way. We're all learning, every one of us. And the choices that we have to make, each one of us, are at various levels, right? So when a thought comes, I guess I'll share it this way. When thoughts come, does that thought give you peace? Because all his ways should be peace.
Right. If it comes to me,
Or are you getting another thought after the first thought?
Sometimes when it comes to like family and loved ones.
Right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes it gives you peace, sometimes it doesn't. And I have seen Pastor Sarah about that. And I'm still sometimes going through it. Sometimes it'll give me peace. And then sometimes I think, well, you just thought that because they're family.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to let family go. Abraham had to say, okay, that's what you want. All right, like, go on. And I know I'm there, but that thought, now if you can help them, help them.
Well, let me share something else. I'll share this also. In Jude, it talks about building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, which is in other tongues, let me ask you, does your spirit man become more, are you more aware of your spirit on the inside of you when you pray in the Holy Spirit? Are you more aware, in other words, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, something begins to stir on the inside, does it not?
Yes.
After you pray for a while. So yes. You are more aware of the real you, you're praying not in your head, you're praying from your
spirit.
So when your spirit becomes, after you pray for a while, you become more aware of your spirit. And so there's a greater sensitivity, a greater awareness of your spirit when you pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you become aware of your own spirit, you also then can become more aware of the one who's inside your spirit.
Yes.
So then what I'm really trying to say is that when you run into these situations of thoughts come, I'm not sure, this, that, and the other, you pray in the spirit. If you spend more time praying in the spirit, you'll have less struggle trying to figure out whether that thought was from God, whether I should be making the right choice. I'm saying it will help you. And if you're not sure about a choice, Brother Hagin, I'm becoming more aware of it. That when you think about making that choice, do you feel good about it or don't you?
If I don't feel good about it totally, I don't do it.
Then you don't do it. Now, if you're not sure,
right. Leave
it alone. Or move in that direction. If you're not sure, move in that direction. As you begin to move in that direction, you'll have maybe better clarity. It's a learning experience. When I say it's learning, we learn how to be aware of His presence in a more sensitive way, and we learn how to follow Him. When I read the scripture, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, but those also that let Him lead. So we have to become aware of His presence. You know, if you're not aware of my presence, I could be walking alongside you. You're not even aware I'm there. You've got to be aware that I am there and then look to Him. And in that process, your spirit man, one key way I know for me, when I'm busy during the day and stuff is flooding at me And I have to make choices and think about it. And it's like boom, 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 boom. And I'm not spending enough time praying in the Holy Ghost. Even when I'm doing that, it can become more difficult to be sensitive to His presence and His direction. So I'm making choices during the day to not get so busy during the day talking, busy, interacting, that I'm not talking, speaking under my breath in the Holy Ghost to keep my sense, my awareness of His presence heightened. And so it's adjustments that we have to make, not to get too busy during the day to not pray in the Spirit. Because the choices we make during the day, what do I do? I don't know. And so it is a learning experience. You're not going to learn this overnight. But you will become more aware of His presence by praying in the Spirit and feeding on the Word of God. And as you become, I mean, I'm going to say this, when you knew it was the Spirit of God, you can rest on past experiences. So you have that when we experience Him leading, you know the difference. The Scripture says, "My sheep know My voice." And so when He leads, even if He doesn't speak to you and it's an illumination or it's an enlightenment, you knew that came from God. You had an experience. You experienced Him. So you can begin to grow in that experience. You can reflect on past experiences and say, "No, that wasn't God. That wasn't His voice. That was the enemy's voice. No, He don't talk like that. No. And if you're not sure, begin to move in that direction. He's your helper. If you're going in the wrong direction, like me, I was going in the wrong direction. He said, hey, go to the doctor. If you don't, now I'm going the wrong way for a year. And it got to a critical point. He said, whoa. He spoke. See? So move in the direction. He has a responsibility to His children to show you the right way. So even if you thought it was Him and you're moving in the wrong direction, He's going to reveal it to you. Does that help?
That just put the nail on whatever y'all want.
Yeah, don't get all, you know, like, it's Him, not Him. First of all, you have past experience with Him. So you know His voice. Even in that. Now, He may come a different way. He may approach you a different way. But you have past experience with God. And you know His voice. You don't get into what I would call questioning. If you're not sure, put it on the shelf. But, you know, you already have some experience with the Holy Spirit. Move out in faith, and He has a responsibility to correct it if you're moving in the wrong direction. That's the only way. Let me say it another way. Can you steer a parked car?
No.
You can't steer a parked car, right? So if I'm moving and I'm going south when I should be going north, does He have a responsibility to get you on the right path?
He does.
Yeah, He does. Uh-huh. So move, even if you're going in the wrong direction. He'll say, no, you need to make a little correction. Go over here.
Mm-hmm. The word you...
See, so sometimes we hesitate and we don't move.
Right.
You got to move. Mm-hmm. Even if it's wrong, move.
Mm-hmm.
He will steer you, and out of that, you'll experience what's right and what's wrong.
You just broke the whole week down.
Okay, all right. I hope it helps.
As far as when you miss it, not to beat yourself up about it, and you should still, even if you knew you miss it, I am led by the Spirit of God.
Yep.
God is directing me. You stay in faith, regardless, even if you miss it, because all you're doing is building up condemnation, which is going to help you not hear.
Right.
So you just stay in faith, you know, and then would you just, the questioning, that's not God.
Right.
You are led by the Spirit of God, whether you feel like it or not, whether you made mistakes, he's right there, as you said, to bring you right back to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, the just have to walk by faith, even if you missed it. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation, right, to those that walk. What? After the Spirit and not after the flesh. So even if I miss it, even if I make mistakes, you must stay in faith. Because God is a God of mercy. And he does chastise, he does correct, but he's a God of mercy. I mean, we go through the Bible and look at everybody and all the boneheaded mistakes they made, and he still used them. Did he use David? My God. And so there's others that you can look at, and so he uses us. We're all he has to work with. And so in the process, we're going to make mistakes. But we can't hesitate. We have to stay in faith. Here's the thing. Faith comes by hearing. What is Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith also comes by you saying. Even when you don't feel like it. And this is what Elder Valerie's saying. Even when I'm making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And I said, it was the Lord leading me. And you go, right. And I made one boneheaded mistake after another. I still need to say, I hear his voice and I'm following his Spirit. And God has a responsibility to illumine to you the correct way. I can't lead you. He has to reveal. He has to illumine to your mind. He has to make you uncomfortable. He has to say, this is the right way. Now, it may take you 10 years to get it right. He will keep working and working, but you've got to stay in faith saying, I hear his voice. I hear. He said, because if we don't say what he says, then we're not in faith. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And if I'm not, was it, wasn't it? I hear his voice. I say, God says I can hear it, then I hear it. And even if I made mistake after mistake, I'm going to stay in faith saying what he said. Until it becomes evident to me that I'm hearing his voice. Now, what may be happening is I may be hearing it but not recognizing that it is him. Now, that could be part of the problem. That, yeah, he's speaking, and then you go, oh, that was the Lord. You see, sometimes he may be, and we just don't recognize that it's him. Right. So you already have some experience, you see. But just keep in faith, stay in faith, and don't worry about if you make a mistake. Is it? Isn't it? Don't worry about that. Stay in faith. If you make a mistake, he'll reveal to you that it was a mistake. And he'll alert you. Okay. I hope it helps. Well, praise God. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for guiding us and directing us in the right way. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.